This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Changes are coming to adult education in the new year. First off, the GED is getting harder. The General Education Development Test will now have to be taken on the computer, and it's going to cost more to take the test. Another big change in San Antonio for adult education is the closing of most of the city adult education centers. To save money on the budget, the city of San Antonio pulled the funding for 7 adult education centers. To talk about the importance of these centers and the future of adult education in San Antonio, we're joined by Carolyn Heath, the executive director of Each One Teach One, a literacy operation, and Kim Vinton. She is the coordinator of adult basic education at Region 20 Education Service Center. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And our phone lines are open. We want to hear from listeners. Are you being impacted by the closing of the city's pulling of the funding for these adult education centers, or you have experiences at these? We want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980, and you could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So Carolyn Heath of Each One Teach One, tell me a little bit about your organization and how y'all were working with these city adult education centers.
Well, we are a San Antonio-based nonprofit organization that specifically targets adults who fall into one of two categories. They are either reading, writing, or performing math below an eighth grade level, or they are studying to pass the GED exam and need help to prepare for the test. And our format is the use of adult volunteers as tutors. So it is not a classroom-based, we do not operate as a classroom-based setting. We provide one-on-one tutoring to adults who need help becoming more literate. Now, we do have an arrangement with the city where we provide pro bono assistance at two of their learning centers, their GED learning centers.
Which ones?
One is the Margarita Wantes Center at 1411 Guadalupe, and the other is the St. Mary's Learning Center at 3141 Culebra. What we do there is serve as classroom assistants in the GED classes. So we have volunteers that will actually go into the classroom, assist the GED instructors with helping those students to understand the concepts that are being taught in that class. So, for example, a student might not understand something. The volunteer will sit with that student, help them to understand a concept in the class. So we provide our own tutoring at our own location at the River City Christian School, 5810 Blanco. But then in addition to that, we serve as teaching assistants at two of the city's learning centers.
Kim Vinton, a coordinator for adult basic education at Region 20. How does Region 20 work with these with the city? What was the nature of your relationship there?
We work with the city at two of their learning centers, the Benavides Learning Center within Edgewood ISD and Columbia Heights Learning Center within Harlandale ISD, and we host numerous classes there, both GED, ESL, and English Literacy Civics, or EL Civics. And what the city provides is the facility, utilities, security, and we are able to provide pre-assessments, registration for students to enter classes, and instructors to teach all of the classes. So we really work with the city to provide the facilities as well as help with recruitment of students in their communities.
So now that the city of San Antonio is not going to fund the centers anymore, because these were city-owned facilities, buildings, right? I guess these are standalone buildings.
Yes.
And they're gone. They're going to be closed down, and they say the city will probably sell off the property. What does this do for you, Kim? What's Region 20 going to, how are you going to transition?
We have been working with our other partners. The city is one of about 30 partners organizations that we actually have. So in the neighborhoods around these learning centers, we do have other partners, and what we're working with them on is increasing the services at their facilities to make up, to relocate the classes that had been at the centers. Now in Harlandale, we are working with possibly new partners and brand new sites, and so that involves some work and some preparation before we're able to start classes in January.
So do you know where you're going? Has this been established, or is it still in progress?
Some of them have been established. Other classes are still in progress.
So, Carolyn, Keith, each one teach one.
Yes.
How is this going to impact you guys?
Well, the changes to the GED exam will impact us in a number of ways. It will impact the way in which we teach the test. It will also require more resources in terms of computers at our
main
site.
So these are two separate things. The state is mm-hmm. doing the GED, making it harder and doing it on a computer. That's going to have wide impact all across the state.
Correct.
And so I'm sorry?
Across the nation.
It's
this is a nationwide
yes.
change, right?
So, but as this is getting tougher to pass the GED.
And more expensive.
And then there are fewer organizations that are able to administer the test and teach the test and all
Correct.
Those things. The city is we're losing
this is probably,
opportunities to help the people who want to do that.
Could not have come, in my estimation, at a worse time. This the loss of the centers because of the changes. There are just a lot of changes going on at one time, and the community is not aware of any of it, to be quite frank. They're not aware of where these new GED services, if any, are going to be. They are not aware of how the test is going to change, and many of them will be ill-prepared to take the new GED. They don't have the computer skills. They're functioning at a low literacy level to begin with, and so it will have, in my estimation, the unintended effect of further making those that are already disadvantaged at a further disadvantage educationally.
And so talk more about your circumstances with your nonprofit, Each One Teach One.
Well, we have approached the city about taking over the operation of one of the learning centers, the St. Mary's Learning Center. And we've also approached St. Mary's University, who owns the land for that center, and expressed our interest. We don't have a reply back on that, but we certainly would be interested in trying to keep that center in the community. It's a very wonderful center. It has great facilities and is right next to St. Mary's University. And many of the university students do community service as tutors through Each One Teach One. So to lose that facility to the community would not only affect the community itself, but it would also affect students who want to help in their community.
That would seem like a huge loss to...
It's a huge loss.
Right there on Calabria Street.
Right there on Calabria Street.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to get to some callers. If you want to jump in on this conversation, we'd love to hear from you, especially if you have attended these learning centers, if you have experience there. Call us up. Let us know about it. 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about the city of San Antonio pulling its funding for adult education centers across the city. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're joined by Carolyn Heath, the executive director of Each One Teach One, and Kim Vinton, coordinator for adult basic education at Region 20. We're talking about the city of San Antonio pulling its funding for seven adult education centers that it has operated in the city of San Antonio for many, many years. And there are a lot of questions about how did this come about and what was the city's plan. We had asked the city of San Antonio to join us for this conversation, and we asked them multiple times, but they declined. They decided they didn't want to join us, but the phone lines remain open. We'd certainly love to hear from them. We also want to hear from callers. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980 to join the conversation about this. And let's get Luis on the line. Luis, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question was simple, and a representative from the city is not there to answer it, but I really love the Pre-K for SA initiative that our mayor and the city council have backed, but I see it as very short-sighted, them cutting funding or access to good facilities for adult education, because I don't think they're thinking about who are the parents of all those preschoolers. A lot of them are going to be needing their GED or looking to improve their English language proficiency in an ESL class. And I just wanted to make that comment on the air.
Luis, thank you so much. Appreciate that for that comment. And so, Carolyn Heath, at Each One, Teach One.
I would love to respond to that. First of all, the caller is dead on. He is dead on that the approach to literacy should be a multi-generational approach, and that I don't care how many well-intentioned directives toward youngsters you have, if that family is functioning at a low literacy level, that child is still at risk. And there are programs, pilot programs around the country that do take a multi-generational approach to literacy, so that while the toddler is learning to read, mom is in another room, or dad or grandma or whomever is in another room also improving their literacy skills. And we get a number of calls each week from parents saying, you know, my kid's in elementary school and already I can't help them with their homework because of my own skills. So I agree that I think that the approach should have been more carefully thought out, brought in stakeholders from the community to try to identify cost measures that reduce costs but that don't affect service as drastically.
Now, it's my understanding that these centers not only taught, you know, GED classes and English classes and computer classes, but the other things happened there as well. Certainly, some people were able to apply for TANF, family aid, and other things. So,
health information, job training classes. Yes, I mean, these are community centers that offer a lot of resources within walking distance, right in the heart of a neighborhood, or on a bus line. And so it made it convenient for the community to access. So, yes, I mean, it was more than just GED classes going on there, although that's an important component.
That would be enough.
That would be enough in and of itself. But there are other things that were taking place there as well. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's get another caller on the line. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980, if you want to join the conversation about the city closing down adult education centers. And Rhett is on the line. Rhett, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to know, how much is the total amount of funding? How much is that?
I don't have that figure. Do we know how much was saved?
How much is being saved? I do not know.
I
don't know that information either.
No.
I know it was a budget measure. This is something that came about during the recent budget scrubbing that we have every year from the City Hall.
Sure.
So we don't have that figure.
How many individuals were participating in these learning centers before they were cut?
For GED and ESL that we're familiar with in adult education, probably over 2,200, between 2,200 and 2,600.
And Carolyn?
That's my understanding. It was a couple thousand.
I was seeing that. I saw a figure that 8,000 people were helped each year, but I don't know how that figure was arrived at.
Yeah,
and the 2,200 that I mentioned is just the GED.
That's
and
just
ESL
GED
courses that the adult ed programs. But like Carolyn mentioned, there were many other services offered at the learning centers: computer classes, mm-hmm. Other community classes. It was like a community ed department at an ISD, but mm-hmm. within. Separate from the ISD. It was a city center.
So you bring up the ISD, and some people were saying that take all these classes and things that are happening there and move them to the schools. Why not? You know, we've got schools in every neighborhood. Why not do them there?
The space at the ISDs, while we partner with many ISDs in order to provide GED and ESL courses, the space is usually not dedicated to adult learners. We share space with high school classes, middle school classrooms. We try to avoid elementary schools because the chairs are literally too small. So, but it does happen. We share space quite often. It was nice to have a community center that felt like it belonged to the community, and the adults felt like it was their place to go separate from their child.
And I imagine also because it was that center that they could operate with their own hours, didn't have to work around when school was in session.
Correct.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right.
Let's get another caller on the line. Carolyn joins us. Carolyn, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I was appalled as someone who's been involved with adult education for many years to find out about this closure. It seems to be such a leap backwards. It took decades to get those learning centers designed and put in place. They're designed specifically for the purpose of adult education, the classrooms, the computer labs, and so forth. And they're strategically located within their communities. Some of them staffed by Region 20, some of them by ISDs, and with volunteers assisting. But it's such a leap backwards at a time when the city is and civic leaders are voicing concern over how we provide adequately educated workforce for our city jobs. And then to turn around and undo what's taken so long to begin to make that possible and was functioning.
All right, Carolyn, thank you for that call. Appreciate your input there. So I can imagine that, I mean, these places are centrally located and in these neighborhoods, but also, I mean, if you were to lose the property, it would be very difficult to regain it.
I would certainly think so. And as with the previous caller, I must say that this caller has hit the nail right on the head once again, that, you know, there were efforts over many years to provide these community resources and for the community not to have the opportunity to comment or to try to help the city to come up with solutions that both, you know, reduce costs but yet retain services.
So you're saying that this happened basically without letting most people know?
It appears to. I've not seen, there's no one here from the city to comment on that, but I'll speak personally that I've not seen any hearings on this. I've not seen anything in the media about this.
Well, they had budget hearings, so if you paid close attention to the line items in the budget, you may have noticed that they were cutting these.
Well, I...
But when we're talking about, I mean, the library, they were cutting back library hours at the time, and I think that's what most people were focused
correct.
On.
Correct. And I think that, again, the population of people that are impacted by this, you have to do more than the norm. I mean, you have flyers in the community. You host hearings at the sites. Give the community a chance to come out and voice their impressions of this. Which, to my knowledge, did not happen.
Let's get another caller on the air. Jonathan joins us. Jonathan, welcome to The Source.
Hi, I just wanted to ask two quick questions. I just wanted to see if you could provide the San Antonio literacy rate among adults, and also if anybody knows if there is data to support the negative implications of adult illiteracy.
All right, Jonathan, thank you for that. So do we have that at our fingertips? Do we know what the adult illiteracy rate is in San Antonio?
Off the top of my head,
well,
I do not.
The last figure that we have is that 1 in 4 San Antonians read below a fifth grade level. 1 in 4 are what they call functionally illiterate. And so in terms of reading a newspaper or directional signs or prescriptions or filling out applications, the official number is 25%, although Each One Teach One maintains that the figure is higher than that unofficially.
So according to the literacysanantonio.com, San Antonio ranks 7th in population and 60th in literacy in the United States.
That's right. Among major cities, that is exactly right.
And approximately 50% of the nation's unemployed youth aged between 16 and 21 are functionally illiterate.
Right.
And that means they virtually have no prospects of attaining a good job.
That's correct. And that doesn't even talk about, for example, those who are incarcerated and the literacy rates among those who are incarcerated, which is probably somewhere around 2/3 of all prison inmates.
Okay, so here we are talking about the city closing these adult education centers. The one in NEISD is remaining open. Northeast Independent School District, they saw the value in this, and they've stepped forward, and they're going to keep theirs going. But it's is it six others in the city are going to be lost. And here we are at the end of the year. They're supposed to be closed down on January 1.
Actually, before then.
December 20th.
Yeah, actually before the holiday.
And so is that it? Is that not, can what is this?
You know, the only thing that I can recommend is that if people have a concern about this, is to contact their local council person and say that you know, we're concerned about.
Do you think they're picking on people who don't really take part in the process?
I don't know if picking on is it, but I certainly think that this population is vulnerable to changes that they don't have a voice in, because they themselves are trying to.
They're working it, and they got the family, and they're trying to make it.
They're trying to hide the fact that they're illiterate, number one. And so we don't have, you know, a group, an advocacy group that's saying, hey, help us illiterate adults, you know, because they're afraid for their jobs. All right. They're afraid for their families.
We're going to try to get the city back on this. We're not going to let this go. We'll try and get the city back on this before this wraps up. But I'm out of time right now, so I got to say thank you. Carolyn Heath, Executive Director, Each One Teach One. Kim Vinton, Coordinator for Adult Basic Education at Region 20. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the news.